580-KIDO is our number, and it's also Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, if you prefer email. You know, interesting week this week. We had a little bit of volatility come back, and I think there's a couple things I want to talk about because it does get people a little confused. Yeah, well, me too. So we're going to raise taxes horribly. That's what we want to do anyway. Our president of the United States does not want to stop the inflow of illegal aliens on the border. Really rough on those, obviously, on those states. Really rough. But he wants to impose extremely high taxes, moving us back to one of the highest taxed nations in the world, corporate taxes, which are not real taxes anyway because they just pass it through to us. But it really matters for global competitiveness. And then we're going to raise taxes on individuals, which is not good for the economy. And we're going to have higher regulations, of course. I mean, like, okay, you're an industry, you've got the, you know, billion-dollar facility, billions of dollars worth of facilities here, and we're going to change all of the regulations. You built this great pipeline over here. Yeah, it's too bad. You work for the pipeline, you're shut down, you're unemployed. And the market goes higher. Now, these are not good policies for the market. It's that for the economy in general. And we get back to that same basic equation and why we miss it. The biggest thing out there is that we're reopening. So no matter what Looney Tune policies the Biden administration comes up with, and they're plentiful. Every single one of them so far is anti-business. There's not one that's not. Is anti-growth, anti-worker. All of them are. There's nothing out there that's positive for economic development or work. Both are the same anyway, but that's where we're at. Just spend money. Encouraging people to stay home because unemployment pays more than their job. These are not good policies, but the market goes higher. Yeah, it took a temporary dip here on Thursday when Joe announced his brand new plan to basically double capital gains, which is just terrific. Don't worry, it'll only affect people that make $1 million, which could be lots of people that sell their business the day before they retire. So if you needed a couple million to retire, you don't. Now you need four because the government wants two. So people don't sell businesses. So how does this affect the overall economy? Well, if we don't have capital formation, or if there's really no reward or minimizing the reward for hitting a home run, creating businesses, capital formation, if you will, it slows it down. If you want less of something, tax it. It's pretty simple and easy. You want less revenue? Tax more. People will move out of your state if you want a broad example. People will hide their dollars somewhere. Right? They really won't put it in the economy. They really won't employ people. The overall economy slows down. Innovation, creation, all slows down. Because there's no reward. That affects everybody, not some weird, bizarre, oh, it's just a sliver of people. My rear, it's the same millionaire tax. I mean, I guess I've been around long enough to remember Al Gore saying that, you know, in some debate that it really is a tax only on millionaires, even though somebody had pointed out that it was $250,000 is where the new, quotes, millionaire tax was starting. No, it was, but you had to do that 4 years in a row, and That's like $1 million. Huh? Oh, so for the guy making $100,000, it's 10 years, so he's really like a millionaire tax. Wow. I mean, it just, people act like it only affects somebody else. And even if that were the case, and it's not, the effect is over the entire economy, which is all of us. Capital formation is one of the things that makes America amazing. Our stock market, the vibrancy of it, all of that. Allow, whether you invested in the market or not, it affected you your whole life. Because people started businesses, invested great amounts of capital, found investors, worked day and night, and then found an audience on the New York Stock Exchange that said, yeah, we'll buy your stock. And it's payday. The reward. It's why people go into everything, right, that has high risk. Acting. Writing a book. Spending hours and hours and hours. Hoping to have a bestseller. Who would spend days or years of their life writing and writing and writing and writing when there's no payoff? Very few. Very few. So it affects all of us. It affects everyone. And when we start, it doesn't seem incredibly morally wrong anyway to just single out a group of people who aren't really doing anything wrong. They're actually like amazing entrepreneurs creating jobs, employment for people, taking great risks on the edge all the time. Right? I mean, the calls in the middle of the night, the calls in the evening. Got to get up early and go. Those folks. Single them out and just take their money because they made a lot of it in a very honest, hardworking way? Why? How is that right? I don't get that. But the point there is that it affects all of us. We start pointing out people, why wouldn't that broaden out? I mean, we watch the Looney Tune left single out other people that are really left, but they're not woke enough. They said something. They acted like maybe some of the poor communities should take some responsibility. It really isn't some guy in Idaho that makes the south side of Chicago dangerous and deadly. Or is it? Oh, you're out. You're out. You're a Uncle Tom. It's weird. But everybody eats their young in the end. And so when we think it's just going to be, I'm just going to point out these billionaires or whatever over there, and we don't like them anyway because, well, they have billions. And, you know, it's not fair. It's not right. We just don't like them. So we're just going to point them out. Then when does that not broaden out to, you know, people that have a few million? Well, that's okay because it's a few million. I mean, come on. Let's just divvy it up. Then why work? Why strive? Why create? Why think? And it widens out. But this is what we miss. It's not good for it's not good. But remember, we've been here before not long ago. I really believe in my lifetime. I don't know, Biden might end up doing it. But I think that in my lifetime, there's a possibility that history will look back and decide that Barack Obama was the worst president the United States has ever had. It's possible. History changes our perspective, right? It gives us some time to go, yeah, well, he might have been cool, but boy, look at the policies. He was really cool. Okay, his first black party, groovy. Wow, we are so hip. We are so woke. Because that's what we did. And that makes him what? A great president? No. The policies, the health care he destroyed, the globe. I know, it's really weird because he won a Nobel Peace Prize. Really, seriously, I know. The guy that set the world on fire and let Russia come in, destroyed the Justice Department, right? By allowing people to spy on a political campaign. Well known. Nobody's going to go to jail for it. I get it. But it's certainly well documented. Allowing false documents to be written. Well known. Not just known. Proven. All of these things. A very, very, very corrupt. But in the end, a do-nothing except raise taxes, raise regulations, slow down growth. And what happened to growth in the United States? We grew much more slowly than we should. Much. But we grew. But we grew. That's what's happening now. I don't deny that these policies are frightening. I don't deny that they are long-term, incredibly, incredibly horrible for this country and our kids and grandkids. They are horrible. I don't deny that. But we are going to grow. Therefore, you can't stop the market. You can curse it. You can be angry. You can go out and fight the good fight and try to change policy and try to win hearts. But screaming and yelling that it's all phony because of something the Fed's doing misses it again. You've been screaming and yelling about the Fed for 30,000 points. Seriously. Seriously. That's why we miss it. So when they announce some horrible policy and the market goes down, you know, doubling capital gains taxes. Yeah, that's good for capitalism. That's really, wow. I can't wait to hear the genius economics professor that came up with that one. Explain how this is really, really good for the economy. It's horrible. Horrible. But we're reopening and markets are going higher. We will grow. That's the bottom line. All right, I got to take a quick break. It's 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Yes, we are going to be rolling into hour two very soon here. My goodness gracious, fast and furious so far today. Our number, by the way, is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And a shout out to Jennifer Stone and Erica Much, who took the show last week. And, you know, I just like to sit back, and I did once in a while, and listen to them. And so I did online, which obviously you and many people like me do from time to time when we're traveling and things like that. But just a great job in reminding us of some of the basics, spring cleaning, and thinking about things that get our lives in order and make our lives easier. You know, actually, the truth is that I'm not all that discouraged because it's going to be a rainy, wet weekend, so I personally can get some of my tax stuff done that I need to get done by May 15th. Not that long. And anyway, well, it's okay. It's okay sometimes to not be to be inside and have to get some of these things cleaned up, because I do know every time I get those done, you just feel better. It's like, you know, you're one up on things. You don't feel that burden on the back of your neck, right? So great job. Thank you for taking that next week, or last week, I should say. And this upcoming here, we're going to talk a little bit about inflation. Yeah, I am going to talk about inflation because I am a little bit concerned about it. I think we should be. But we've already touched on stocks that keep rolling in spite of bad policy. But I also want to talk about Doge, or is it Doggy Coin? Everybody says it's Doge Coin. I thought it was Doggy Coin. I think that's just like, you know, the French version, which makes it sound more, you know, sincerely cool or something. More real than a made-up coin as it was. But is that a sign of the market topping? Too much froth? Good question to ask periodically. All right, we'll be back after news for hour number two. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two upcoming, and of course, these are my opinions only. They're not this station. We don't know what the markets are going to do. So to stand there and tell people to buy and sell is, it's moronic. And it is not entertainment. It's misleading. This is a long-term game that you always have won at. Always have won at. Yes, that means 100% of the time. Over time. No matter when you bought. No matter what you did. If you held on. Trading, activating, moving in and out means you can never have a 20 bagger. What's a 20 bagger? 20-fold increase. A 10 bagger, 10-fold increase in your original investment. Why can't you have that? Because you traded it. If you don't own Apple, you don't have a 20 bagger. If you don't own Google, you don't have a 20 bagger. You made a profit and you're on the sidelines. Problem is, well, you can't go broke taking profits. Well, yeah, that's true if 100% of the time you took profits. But welcome to the real world, pal. You don't 100% of the time take profits. Nobody does. Nobody does. In fact, the greats say if you're right in your investments, 60, 65% of the time, you're legendary. Wow. That's like really good compared to baseball, but that means a third of the time, you know, it didn't do so well, right? So if you took profits too soon on all the others, then that third of the time would wipe you out. So yes, you do go broke taking profits on Wall Street. It's absolutely true. By the way, because of all the misunderstandings and all the keep your money safe, the world is ending. Because fear sells. Fear makes us all irrational. It gets us all fussed up, and we don't do things right. So, I'm asked this question all the time. What about all the things out there you get market returns without risk? And the answer is, you don't, you can't, and you won't. You know that. You know that. But I don't want to talk about it all the time. I don't. So on our website, if you're enticed to go to a dinner seminar, get that free book that I publish, right? Sure. Mm-hmm. You know how hard it is to publish a book? You pay a couple thousand dollars. You write a paragraph, and now it's your book. Yeah, I know. That's how it works. Kind of sleazy, but it is. It's how it works. I've had so many of them offered, right, over the years. Hey, be a published author. It's really prestigious and cool, and it's good for the resume. Great. How about I actually write one, right, if I'm going to do that, and then nobody will read it, and it's okay. We learn as we go into different things. It takes time. My point is that's out there on our website. We do have the equity indexed annuity, which is what this is. It's only 12 minutes, I think, something like that. I know it's really brief. We think it's pretty good because it's concise. It just people don't want to watch something for an hour. I get that. And get into the weeds. Well, how do they actually put these hedges on? Why is it guaranteed this way or that way? Why can't it work? Okay. It's important to try to keep it at a reasonable level. And so we do. But it's on our website, petzofinancial.com. All right, before we jump on the phones here, I do want to touch on this because we are continuing to just really roll, right? We are. The market keeps rolling. In spite of all of the things we talked about in the first hour. Tax increases. Yeah, we need more of those. That's really great for the economy. We need more regulations, and we need to set impossible goals so we drive every single industrial business out of business by the year 2030. We need that. That's helpful for our country. None of this is. But what we always have to do is stop and recognize that we are being told all the time that the world is going to end. All the time. The world is going to end. And so tying that together is another perfect way is to say Dogecoin, Doggycoin, whatever, is worth $54 billion. Isn't that a sign that Apple and Google and Facebook are too high in price? Right? I mean, they don't say it that way. They say things like, isn't that just another symptom of why the market's too high? A fair question, sort of, kind of, not really. But it sounds good. It sounds thoughtful because, really, again, back to the basics here. If you are a bear, you think the market's down. You're always worried. You're always fussing about stuff. You tug on the beard. You'd really kind of put your head down and furrow your brow. You just kind of, I'm just going to turn. Man, you sound smart. I mean, that is smart. That guy's really smart. You see how he's concerned and see how he mumbles about things like currency and stuff like that, commodity prices, inflation, and overblown speculation in some areas. It's like, wow, he is really smart compared to the wild-eyed optimist. Who says, over time, technology takes care of all of our problems. It always has. And as long as the world is growing, markets go higher. And the way to actual wealth is to own the great corporations of the world, be part of the whole creative destruction capitalist movement that we've enjoyed our lifetime. And you get rich over time. I mean, really rich over time. Oh, what a moron that guy is. Not anything near as smart as the guy that kept me out of the market for the last 20 years. That guy's smart. What I need to do is I need to buy gold and I need to buy equity index annuities. That's what I need to do. Because, boom, and then we come up with the 10 things that are wrong. Inflation's coming back. And it is. It's a long-term problem. It, in my mind, it is. Producer price inflation is real. China's a real problem. Joe isn't running the country. I get all that. And we're opening up. And the world isn't ending yet. And all the Bitcoin, Dogecoin, annuities aren't going to save a thing if the world ends. Who wants to live their life that way? I know. The TV wants you to. The internet wants you to. Let's check out some more Stanberry research stuff out there. Let's click on any of those ads. You go right there. And then you're caught in the negative spiral. I'm above that. It's okay. I got no issues. I can handle it. So we look at it and we think about it. And we look at all of these things out there, like a Tesla and all these other things. Dogecoin, $54 billion, and it's a joke? That's a lot of money for a joke. Really is. $54 billion. Last week, it touched $54 billion. I know it came down a little bit. I don't know. It's only $45 or $50 billion now. It's a joke, and it's infinite mining of this joke. How can it have any value? I don't know. I don't know. Because people are playing on their cell phones, I think. Which is also why we got GameStop. But does that have anything to do with the market? Now, if you are trying to paint a picture of negativity and why it's really just a giant casino, don't pay any attention to the fact that everybody's always won This is a giant casino, and it needs to scare you to death. Otherwise, I will not be able to put you in this crappy high commission product that I have. You need to be scared, and I mean really scared. Don't and do not actually ask any questions about this. It works better for both of us that way, okay? This works. But fear works. And we read too much. We get too political in our overall thought process. Look, I get it. We got to go fight the good fight. My heart hurts for this country. We're not on the right track. We're so far off the track, it's frightening. And they're going further. They push more every single day. Every day. It's relentless. And you know what else is relentless? We're opening. But what about all the cases here? And I just got my vaccines, and I still double mask, and I ride my bike down the green belt with a mask on. It's insane, I know. And then we point to science. I get that. It's kind of weird. New science to me. But that's just people being scared. We need to step above that. You can be all the scared you want about the direction of the country, but you have to recognize what's right in front of you. We're opening. Even California and New York are reopening. It doesn't put us immediately back to where we were, but that's why the market keeps moving ahead, because it's thinking ahead. We need to try the best we can to think ahead of where we're going. And also, don't get too far ahead, right? This is going to kill us in the long run. Yeah, it is. You can't spend tens of trillions of dollars and not have it affect you at some point. But not today. And not tomorrow. Somewhere down the road. Somewhere far down the road. Which is why politicians love deficit spending, because it really doesn't affect them in their time in office. Except that they can buy votes. They think they can. But are we really that stupid? I don't know. Maybe we are. Maybe we are. But the other reason to think ahead is this, okay? And I'll leave you at this, and then we're going to grab some phone calls, okay? When we think about stuff like Tesla, that's way out in front, and they are, and we think of things like computers and their time, way out in front, certainly an amazing part of our whole economy. And there's no doubt that the combustion engine is going to become a relic, certainly for passenger cars, sometime in the not very distant future. So things are changing, and Tesla is out front. But can they really make all the cars in the world? No. Did they have their run of an idea? And now you have to produce actual profits in a world where you have everyone else that already has plants retrofitting them for electric cars and hybrids and whatever. And piles of engineers at Ford, General Motors, Mercedes, BMW, and on and on and on and on. All around the world. But it's all Tesla all the time with no profits? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. And I'm not saying you should own it or not own it, just short it or go away. Do what you want to do. But understand that the market is always looking forward, not behind. Which again is why, back to a real life illustration of Tesla, on the opposite side of saying, some things can be very mispriced, very speculative, even silly, like Dogecoin, stupid, like GameStop at $300 a share. All of these things are crazy. Does not mean the market itself is crazy. So don't listen to people that say things like that, because they're not basing it on any reality at all, except it's easy to scare you. And hold cash or gold or a really bad annuity. Not all annuities are bad, by the way. Just most. So we have a world where we can't sometimes, because of the noise, because we won't. We just won't turn it down. You won't turn it down. I can't get you to turn it. I don't want to turn it down. You have to work hard to turn it down, to have any real thought, to actually wake up and see what's right in front of us. We get so wound in it. It makes us crotchety, angry, frustrated. I watch the news, I get angry. I don't want to be an angry guy. I want to be kind and loving and warm and all those things. And I mean that. Don't you? I don't want to be angry or feel like I'm faking it to smile because I'm really angry. And that's what it does. And it makes us make bad decisions. Don't kid yourself. Too many inputs is too many inputs. Period. And sitting around looking for why the market's got to go down sometime soon has been a sucker's play for my entire life. My entire life. Dow was at 800. It's at 35,000-ish. 800 when I started in this industry, not when I was born. I don't even know. I did know at some point. So that's the lunacy of this. And all the way, market's overpriced. This is a problem. We're all going to heck in a handbasket. We're all going to die. Yeah, we are. Silly. Silly. Always looking for what's wrong. You'll find it. Just keep looking. Look hard enough. You always find what you're looking for. That person over there made you mad. You found it. You found another thing that makes you mad about them. You found another thing for why the market's going to tank. Good job, man. Good work. Didn't take much digging, but good work. You stayed on. You're never wrong. You're never just wrong. That's the problem we get into when we get so many negative inputs and the world is negative. I know, I'm talking to myself too. All right, we got to take a quick break. Ken, Jim, hang on. We're going to grab you on the other side. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, thank you for joining us. And of course, if you want to join us here now, it's 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. As well as if you want to check us out during the week, we also have podcasts available. Just check out our website. And as I mentioned before, we're doing some more stuff on YouTube and all those things. And we have links at our website as well. It's PetsoFinancial.com. Let's go to Ken. Ken, thank you so much for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
We really need your show because there's plenty of guys out here like me that don't know what we're doing, and we weren't taught anything in school. And mostly I have been focusing just on the Dave Ramsey program and getting my debts paid off. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting to the point where I can invest. And I talked to a client of mine a couple days ago. It was pretty exciting. He's a chartist and showing me stuff there. I had another client say, you know, that you can do that. That might be more aggressive. The S&P 500 is maybe a safer bet. Mm-hmm. Someone as new and uneducated as I am, what would you say? I'm concerned about how much I invest in the cause of inflation, but regardless of inflation, let's say I invest something like $200 a week or $500 a week, or where do you get? I just need some guidance. What did you do, I guess, when you were starting off investing?
Well, I didn't have that much per week, but yeah, yes, I always. Played by the analogy, and I know this sounds absolutely crazy, but it goes all the way back, and That's why I love doing this program, because I would have long forgot it. But the most important thing is to pay yourself first. It always is. And even when I was, I mean poor, really. Seriously, I couldn't afford to buy beer or soda or anything. You know, it just was really struggling to get by. We paid ourselves first. And even if it was $25 a month, I think it was $50 when we first started doing that. And literally, that was at 19 years old. So it was something that stuck with me, that you just start putting some money away. And then somehow the rest of the money you make that month, it stretches into it. So I don't know that that there's any magic to it other than starting. So I'm saying that not just to you, because you've paid off your bills and now you have good cash flow, right? So I'll be specific with you in a moment. But I want to broaden this out. It doesn't matter what you do if you just start. It really doesn't. You just, the whole principle of starting and compounding is great. Whether that means a mutual fund, which is what I did, but now we have exchange traded funds. You can do the S&P real easy, and they're really actually for free. So I don't have a problem with that. But I'm going to tell you something that a good friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, always says. He might very well be listening to the program. He always talks to people. He says, I did a couple things in my life that I did right. And one was to hire a really good financial advisor, happened to be me. And the second thing is I had a really good accountant to help me make sure that I wasn't doing anything wrong. These were areas beyond my expertise. And then I built a heck of a business because I focused my energy on it. You don't want to do charting. I'm just going to say there's a couple things to think about doing. You can obviously do this on your own when you just start and throw a couple bucks away. But then you got to watch it, and you got to spend time in it. And you really don't know what you're doing. And as it builds up, you really do need to go find somebody to help you navigate, in my humble opinion. I think there's less than 10% of the people, maybe less than 5%, that can do this on their own and do it well. So I think that there's, and don't get me wrong, I think that there's a huge number of quotes advisors or people that pretend to be advisors out there that are not good for your money, okay? So you have to do your homework. But spending your time finding the right person is good time spent. Okay, so having said all that, just start with an S&P. Don't do charting. It's going to take your eyes off the ball, and you're going to be basically gambling in the market. Buy and own the great corporations of the world in any way, shape, or form that you want to. Hope that they go down some periods of time where you can really compound some growth and buying more shares or more ETFs, however you want to define it. But buy every week, every month, and just keep adding. And that's what you need to do at this point in time. And the reason you hire somebody is to make sure all the other things are battened down, right? That you're doing the right things tax-wise, you're doing the right things insurance-wise. You know, most advisors like us, we don't do insurance, but we certainly know about it. But you can be pointed in the right direction, thinking about healthcare as you approach old age, retirement, do I have enough? All those things are issues that are kind of nice to be able to talk over with somebody in a big picture way. And that's what you're really paying for, not investment results.
Okay. Great.
But Ken, I appreciate what you're saying, and there is no education out there. There is none. You're doing a good job getting it. Thank you for listening, and not to pat ourselves on the back here, but that's exactly what we're trying to do, is educate. And what we're doing now is we're getting more and more YouTube videos out there. We're going to get more, as I talked about the dangers of annuities and things like that. Not all annuities are bad, but most all of them are. And there are some out there that are deadly dangerous, and you just need to be watching those kinds of things. We've got videos out there, and there's other people that are doing it too. So we want to have education for, you know, how and why do you get started, basic things. So thank you for pointing that out.
You bet. Thank you.
Ken, thank you. Thanks for your call. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
I got to take a quick break here, Jim, for news at the bottom of the hour here. So we're running a little long, so you're up to bat next. And then I believe we have Spinner. Now, that's an interesting name. Can't wait to meet Spinner. All right, Jim, we're going to take a break here for Fox News, and we'll grab you on the other side. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thank you for holding. Go ahead,
morning,
please.
Dave. How's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, you asked me, you know, I buy and hold, and if I ever sell anything. Well, to clarify, I have actually two accounts, the third being an IRA. But my account is like twice as large as my advisor's account. And I tell her, I mean, she's got her stuff over there, and she can buy whatever the heck she wants to buy. The stuff I can't stand, such as technology and healthcare, and she can sell if she wants to, but even she doesn't sell very much. But, you know, the thing about fear goes, most everything I got was through inheritance, right? So I really didn't have a lot of sweat equity, right? So it's a lot easier for me not to have fear. It's like easy come, easy go. So it's a lot easier for me to lose than somebody else who's worked really hard for this stuff, and they have more of a fear than I do.
Well, but I would argue, too, though, that, again, I'm not arguing you on a personal level. I'm just saying that most of the time when I run into people who are extremely fearful, much of the time it is on their inheritance. They're afraid of disrespecting their parent, whoever it was, but typically a parent, who worked hard and created it, that they would make a mistake and lose it.
Well, you know, my father was a CPA, and so he would respect me being a capitalist, so...
Yes.
Know.
No, I think so. And I think I think that the point I make, though, is instead of rationalizing why we are fearful, and it's fair that we do, right? Because if you understand it, and any therapist would tell you that, I'm sure, that we need to understand why we are fearful. And so that would begin the healing if you are. But rather than just excusing it because this is the way I feel, I think part of my mission, if you will, with this program is to say, this is not rational. This has always worked. It is available to all human beings, meaning I don't have any money. Well, then here's $50 a month, a cup of coffee a day for 40 years. And just in the S&P 500 is $1.1 million.
Well, you know, all you can do is show them the history, right?
Yes.
Show them the history, and if they don't buy that, then they're just, they're a lost cause, pretty much.
Yeah, you're right. That just made me realize, I just don't believe in lost causes, and there are some. Okay, I get it, and you can't fix them all. I have that discussion with some guys from time to time. You just kind of like going, sometimes you got to let your kids go. You can't fix them the way you think they need to be fixed. Maybe they need to stumble and fall and learn on their own. And that's a process that you have to go through. But if people don't want to change, they won't. And most people don't want to change, and so they won't. But, Jim, I think that sometimes you can reach people. Just because we're talking about the same stuff we talked about 35 years ago on Money Matters doesn't mean that it's not relevant now to a person that heard it 20 years ago or 10 years ago. But now they're ready to hear it. Now they are ready to hear it. Back then, they weren't. They wanted to believe they could trade or the way to wealth was to buy gold. And now they're ready to say, I've been wrong, and I want to change. And in that second, now they're beginning to hear it, where they've shut that down. And so there is no such thing as a lost cause.
Well, you know, the thing is, there are two things that go together. History, past history, and optimism, right? Yep. I mean, you could say, okay, it's been great for 100 years, but it may change tomorrow. But you've got to have optimism to think that it won't change tomorrow.
Yeah, you do. We have a world that is pounded by negativity. It is pounded by politics and wokeness, and you're wrong, and you're really wrong, and I really hate you because you're wrong, because you don't believe what I believe. I'm angry at you. And our world is full of that. It's like, you know, because you're not a minority, you're racist. That's very, very offensive. In all of my life, that would have been offensive, but not today.
Well, it's one of those things. The thing is, the Republicans do need to get more minorities in their tent, so to speak. It's kind of like it's an idea thing. You know, the 1776 was an idea. It happened to be posed by white people at the time. but the idea goes for all races. So the thing is, you've got to get, and there was, on the Limbaugh show, I guess, a couple of days ago, there was this black woman from Houston. And, man, they needed to get her as a spokesperson, you know. I mean, but they need to get more minorities to crack the Democrats' welfare programs.
Well, I agree with that, but I also think they have a lot. I think that the media, if you will, the DNC media, shuts it down to not have people like Senator Scott on, to not talk about the greatness and the amazement of some of the folks, you know, that have come up out of nothing and changed the circumstances. And they're not paraded around. They're oftentimes they were always called Uncle Toms in our past. Not so much anymore, but there are a great number of people, Hispanics and blacks, that are really doing a lot of things out there. But we need more, sure. But I also like the way that they're saying, look, we want people who live in Baltimore to run for office, to not be from the outside. I think we're making inroads on that, and there's an awful lot of good people. Ben Carson is no, you know, lame brain guy. There's a lot of folks out there, from civil rights attorneys and on, that are not hard left no matter what. And the policies they have are good for families. The cities have been run into the ground by the same people for the last 50 years. That is unacceptable, and at some point, I really believe people will open their eyes and say, I wonder why we keep voting for the same people and get the same results. Gee, maybe we ought to do something different. And I think that might change, Jim, but I agree, the whiter the tent, but it seems pretty apparent now that the whitest tents out there are, in fact, in the Republican Party, and that is a great change.
I just hope the next elections go, you know, well, make sure they go legally, too, but... Anyway, well, have a great week, Dave.
You do the same. Thanks for the call. Have a good day.
Talk later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And again, back to that fear that we always have, and everything's so political and on, we've got to stop that. We do. I got to take a quick break. Spinner, you're next. It's 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, real quick before we jump to Spinner, Ken had called in, and it did turn out my friend was listening, so he clarified his statement, which was you need five people on your team, an accountant, a certified financial planner, an attorney, a physician, and a pastor. It allowed him to focus the rest of his energy on building an amazing business and retiring. Nice. I like that. Just very concise. Dan, thanks for sending. I appreciate that, buddy. All right, let's go to Spinner. Spinner, you've been waiting forever. Thank you for waiting.
Hey, you're good, buddy. Hey, first-time caller, man. I listen in to on the Kevin Miller show, and I hear you talk every so often when I get a chance to listen to you, and it very much strike me as you got good financial guidance and you seem like you're doing it for the right reason. My kind of question / statement today is I'm kind of looking for a little bit of hope. The plandemic has more or less put me very broke, extremely paycheck to paycheck, you know, and I look at my pay stub and I'm still getting, I mean, excuse my crude language here, but I'm still getting raped on my taxes. And, you know, I look at Social Security, something that I'm a late 20s male. I'm not going to see Social Security. So what incentive do I have for the government to take that? You know, it's just like I'm looking for some incentive. I was raised conservative. I was raised with blue collar values. You know, it's like I work because of the honor of being an American and knowing that I don't need to go rely on Uncle Sam to get me through. You know, I know very well that I could sit on my butt and make 10 times as much sitting on my butt. But, you know, it's like, where's the honor in that? But, like, at the end of the day, middle class is what's getting taken away from here. So I'm just kind of curious on your, you know, maybe I just need a pick-me-up or an attaboy. I don't know. I just, like, it's very frustrating to be a middle-class worker living paycheck to paycheck and just the ever-living just crap of the money just disappearing. You know, in my eyes, it's almost stealing from us. You know, they say that, oh, you got to pay into this, you got to pay into that. Oh, I'm never going to see it, so what's the point of paying into it?
Mm-hmm. And it's in the name of fairness, which is, I think, is really twisted in turn. But, okay, let me start with a couple things, and I'm going to give you about 3 quick minutes and let you respond, and then actually we're going to end the show on this. How's that sound?
Sounds amazing, sir. I'm all ears.
And I think I just want to talk about, number one, you're in your late 20s. You got forever. I would be optimistic about that simple fact. A cup of coffee a day for the last 40 years, $5 a day, is $1.1 million. That's all you have to do on the investment side. A couple cups of coffee a day. As you make more, throw another cup of coffee away. And you don't have to think about it. You don't have to do it. Just do it. Just go do it.
Yes, sir.
And then you automatically are starting. And then what I want you to do is some self-analysis, too. What is it you like to do? What are your gifts in life? God's gifted every single person with different ones. And I want you to analyze what that is for you. And just simply say, I want to kind of point my life in that direction. It doesn't mean that you're in ministry. I'm just saying, what are your gifts? Are you a good teacher? Are you a great listener? Are you good in front of people? Are you really in sales? You sound like a very gregarious guy, but I want you to point those. And to me, when you're not, you've got it all going here because you do want to work, but not just for the honor of it. It makes you a better human being. It's who you are. You get up in the morning and you have purpose. So go find your real purpose in life. And for me, I just worked and then I found it, right? It was happened to be where I was, where my feet were, and I was doing it. But then I was able to kind of redirect from I need this for an economic solution to it becoming my purpose is to teach and to get people and encourage them and to coach them up and to keep their seat, keep their hands under their rear ends so they're not changing and moving and getting scared. And by doing that, I was finding purpose in what I did day to day. And you know what happened, of course? You know, I got rich and all that good stuff, too. And you will, too. But it takes time, and it takes a lot of effort. And it's really easy to put in 60 hours a week when you're really enjoying what you're doing. It's hard if you're not. It's really hard. But we do have a future, and until the world ends, and I don't think it is, and when we think about all the changes coming and politics moves back and forth, don't lose who you are and don't lose what's right. What's right is right, yes, the world's upside down. I totally get that. What's wrong is right and right is wrong right now. It's not true and will be forever. That won't be because still right comes back to be the thing in the end. If you are fighting the good fight and you're doing the right things, you are going to do well, and you're going to feel good about yourself. You're going to sleep well at night. All those things are true. Yeah, go.
On that point of the fight, though, man, like, I feel in my I got rid of all social media, to get a little bit out into the ether. I got rid of all social media, I got rid of that platform because we don't have a voice to fight. And when we do fight back, when we do call BS, and in this simple aspect of a Taoistic lifestyle, if it looks like poop, it smells like poop, it's probably poop, right?
It is. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm gonna grab you off air. I'm literally out of time. Spinner, I hope you call back.
Hey, God bless, buddy.
God bless you. You take care. Everybody, have a good weekend.
Money matters.